Chapter 29. A quote from Major Afendra's Guide to the Writer's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. The death of a cadet is an inevitable yet acceptable tragedy. This process thins the herd, leaving only the strongest riders. And as long as the cause of death does not break the codex, any rider involved in extinguishing another's life shall not be punished. We land in the flight field what feels like minutes later. Or maybe it's been a lifetime. I'm not sure. The ground shakes as dragons arrive to the left and right, the field quickly filling with celebrating riders from Fourth Wing and angry ones from First. The dragons take off as soon as their riders dismount, with the exception of Andarna, who waits between Tarn's forelegs as I fumble with the buckles. Jack is dead. I killed him. I'm the reason his parents will get a letter. The reason his name will be etched into stone. Across the field, Garrick lifts the crystal egg above his head as Dane waves the flag, and those in Fourth Wing cheer, rushing toward the pair like they're gods. Tarn's weight shifts beneath me as the last buckle slips through my fingers, and I slide out of the saddle. My head swims, stress no doubt bringing on the dizzy spell that makes it hard to keep my balance as I make my way to his shoulder and dismount. I stumble in the mud, hitting my knees when I reach where Andarna lies between Tarn's forelegs, clearly exhausted. Tell me Liam is alive. Tell me it was worth it.
Day says that he lives. The sword went through his side, Tarn says.
Good. Good, that's good. Thank you, Andarna. I know how much that cost you. I look up into her golden eyes, and she blinks slowly back.
Worth it.
Nausea holds me in its grip, and my mouth waters.
Killed him. I killed him.
Damn, Sorengale, Sawyer calls out. Lightning? You've been holding out on us. Lightning I used to take a life. My stomach heaves and a dark shadow envelops me, but it's not Zayden. Tarn has folded his wings over us, closing out the world while I retch up everything I've eaten today.
You did what was necessary,
Tarn says, but it doesn't stop my stomach from clenching and tightening again, trying its best to force up what's not even there.
You saved your friend,
Andarna adds. Finally, my stomach settles, and I force myself to my feet, dragging the back of my hand over my mouth.
You need to get some rest, don't you? I'm proud that you're mine,
Andarna's voice wavers, the blinks of her eyes becoming slower.
Even if I need a bath.
Tarn draws back his wings, and Andarna walks forward, then launches into the sky with steady wing beats toward the Vale. I stare up at the saddle. I need to get him out of this so he can rest too. But all I can think is that I finally have a signet, a real, true signet. And the first thing I did with it was kill a man.
Violet, Dane appears on my left. That was you with the lightning strike? The one that took down the tower?
The one that killed Jack. I nod, thinking of all the times I aimed for the shoulder instead of the heart. The poisons I used to incapacitate, not murder. I left Orin unconscious on the ground at threshing and didn't even go for the throat when he invaded my room. All because I didn't want to be a killer.
I've never seen anything like it.
I don't think there's been a lightning wielder in more than a century. He pauses.
Violet?
I killed him,
I whisper, studying the central chest plate of the saddle. That has to be where everything connects, right? He has to get out of this thing somehow.
Mom will be so proud to know I'm just like the others now. Just like her. My empty belly turns over again, and I retch like my body is trying to expel the guilt. Shit. He rubs his hand over my back. It's all right, Vi. It stops sooner this time, and Dane pulls me against his chest, rocking gently as his hand makes soothing motions up and down my spine.
I killed him.
Why the hell is that all I can say? I'm a broken music box repeating the same melody over and over, and everyone can see me. Everyone knows I can't handle the consequences of my own signet.
I know. I know.
He presses a kiss to the top of my head.
And if you don't want to use that kind of power again, you don't have to.
Get the fuck away from her with that nonsense. Zayden pushes Dane's chest and tugs me out of his arms, then grips my shoulders, turning me to face him.
You killed Barlow.
I nod. Lightning. Your signet is lightning, isn't it? He looks at me with such intensity, as though my answer is the key to whatever he needs.
Yes.
His jaw flexes, and his head bobs once.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure until I saw you take that tower down.
He thought so? What the hell does that even mean?
Listen to me, Sorengale.
He lifts one hand to stroke loose tendrils of hair behind my ear, his touch surprisingly gentle.
The world is a better place without Barlow in it. We both know that. Do I wish I'd been the one to end his miserable life? Absolutely. But what you did will save countless others. He was nothing more than a bully, and was only going to get worse as he grew more powerful. His dragon will choose another rider when she's ready. I'm glad he's dead. I am glad you killed him.
I didn't mean to. It's barely a whisper. I was just so fucking mad, and we'd just caught Liam. I thought my relic was backlashing, finally. My eyes widen. It was close, Zayden. It was too close. I had to do something.
Whatever you did is what kept him alive.
His thumb strokes over my cheek, the motion completely at odds with his tone, and his eyes flare just enough that I know he's aware of what I did.
I don't want this, I blurt. Rhiannon can move objects through space, and Dane has retrocognition.
Hey, Dane snaps. You think I didn't know that already? Zayden barks over his shoulder. Kaori can bring his imagination to life, and Sawyer can bend metal. Mira can extend the wards. Everyone has a signet that isn't just useful for battle. They're tools for good in the world. And what the hell am I, Zayden? I'm a fucking weapon!
You don't have to use your power, Vi.
Dane starts, his voice soft and comforting.
Stop fucking coddling her.
Zayden bites out every word at Dane. She is not a child. She's a full-grown woman. A rider. Start treating her like one, and at least have the decency to give her the truth. You think Melgrin or any other general, to include her own mother, is going to let her sit on a power like this? It's not like she can hide it. Not the way she just demolished one of the practice forts.
You just want her to be like you, Dane argues, a cold-blooded killer. Soon you'll be telling her that it's all right. You get used to the killing.
I inhale a sharp breath. Zayden nails him with a glare.
The blood in my veins is as warm as yours, Atos. And if it's my job you want next year, then you'd better start understanding that you never get used to killing. But you do understand that it's necessary.
He turns back to me, his dark gaze boring into mine.
This isn't primary school. This is war. And you heard me say it once before, but the ugly truth those not on the front lines choose to forget is there are always body bags in war.
I start to shake my head, but his eyes narrow on mine.
You might not like it, might even loathe it,
but it's power like yours that saves lives.
By killing people?
I cry. If Sigale is right and signets reflect who we are at our core, then I'm exactly as Zayden nicknamed me.
Violence.
By defeating invading armies before they get the chance to hurt civilians. You want to keep Rhiannon's nephew alive in that little border village? This is how. You want to keep Mira alive when she's behind enemy lines? This is how. You are not just a weapon, Soren Gale. You are the weapon. You train this ability, own it, and you'll have the power to defend an entire kingdom. He smooths back more wind-loosened tendrils of my hair behind my ears, clearing my vision so I have no excuse but to see the honesty in his eyes. When he's sure I'm not going to argue further, he looks to his side. Rhiannon, can you get her back to the Citadel?
Absolutely,
Rhiannon hustles over. Dane scoffs and walks toward the other squad leaders, leaving us.
The saddle, I start.
Tarn can get it off himself. It was one of his many design stipulations. Zayden turns to leave, but pauses. Thank you for saving Liam. He's important to me.
You don't have to think.
I sigh at his back.
And he's already gone.
You two have the weirdest relationship, Rhiannon says, linking her arm with mine.
We're not in a relationship. I look at Tarn, who surprisingly held his tongue through whatever that was with Zayden and Dane.
Go,
Tarn urges, but do not wallow in guilt, Silver One.
Whatever you feel is natural. Allow yourself to feel it, but then let it go. The wing leader made a valid point. With a signet like that, you are the best hope the kingdom has against the hordes of evil that seek to harm it. Rest, and I will see you tomorrow. I'll get my own saddle off.
You're most definitely in a relationship, Rhiannon continues, tugging me off the field. I just can't figure out if it's the opposites attract partnership that has you two bearing claws, or the slow, lethal burn of scalding sexual tension. She glances sideways at me.
Now,
tell me how the hell you two moved that fast out there.
What do you mean? When Liam was falling, Fierge and I flew as fast as we could, but I knew we'd be too slow given our angle and speed, and I thought you...
She shakes her head.
It just looked like you were high above him one second and had him in the next. I've never seen a dragon fly that fast. It's like I blinked and missed it.
Now guilt bites into me for a whole other reason. Rhiannon is my friend. My closest one here, if I'm being honest about what Dane and I have become. Of everyone she should know.
Do not feel guilt that you cannot tell her. This secret belongs to dragonkind, not you,
Tarn warns.
No one has the right to risk our hatchlings. Not even you, Silver One.
Tarn is really fast, I say in way of explanation. It's not a lie, but it isn't the full truth either.
And thank gods for it.
Zanal must really love Liam, cheating death twice today. But it wasn't Liam who cheated death. It was me. And I can't help but wonder if somewhere, on some plane of existence, Malik sits on his throne, angry that I stole a soul from his grasp. But then again, I gave him Jax. Of course, it might have broken mine forever. The wooden target in my room wobbles as one of my daggers sinks into the wood beside the last one I threw. I might be angry with the world, but at least my aim isn't off. If I miss, there's a good chance the blade is flying out the window, considering where I have the target propped up on the wall. I throw three more, rapid fire, and hit the throat of the person-shaped target every single time. What's the point of going for shoulders anymore if I'm already taking people out with bolts of lightning?
What was my restraint for? With a flick of my wrist, I send the next dagger soaring, putting it straight through the figure's forehead, just as there's a knock at my door. It's either Rhiannon asking for the 10th time if I want to talk about what happened today, or it's Liam. I pause. It can't be Liam, checking to see if I'm actually turned in for the night, because Liam is still in the infirmary, healing from the sword he took to the side. Come in. Who cares if I'm in nothing but my dressing gown? It's not like I can't strike an intruder dead with a knife. Or lightning. The door opens beside me, but I don't bother looking as I throw another dagger. That height, that hint of dark hair I catch in my peripheral vision, that incredible scent, I don't even need to look fully. My body tells me it's Zayden. Then, my body reminds me exactly what it feels like to have his mouth on mine, and my stomach flutters. Shit. I'm too on edge to deal with him or the way he makes me feel tonight. Imagining that's me? He asks, shutting my door and leaning back against it, folding his arms across his chest. Then he does a double take, his heated gaze roaming over my body. Suddenly, the spring breeze coming through the open window isn't enough to cool my skin. Not when he's looking at me like that. My long braid swings across my back as I take another dagger off my dresser. No, but it was you about 20 minutes ago. Who is it now? He raises a brow, crosses one ankle over the other. No one you know. With a flick of my wrist, the next blade goes through the sternum. Why are you here? I glance his way just long enough to note that he's bathed and wearing our standard uniform instead of flight leathers, and definitely not long enough to note how fucking good he looks. Just once I'd love to see him disheveled or unnerved, anything outside that calm control he wears like armor. Let me guess, since Liam is out of commission, it's your duty to lecture me about sleeping in plain cotton. I didn't come to lecture you, he says softly, and I can feel the warmth of his gaze like a caress as it rakes over the thin black straps of my dressing gown. But I can definitely see that you're not wearing your armor. No one is going to be ridiculous enough to attack me now. I take another dagger from the dresser, my pile dwindling. Not when I can kill them from 50 yards away. Tapping the end of the razor-sharp weapon, I pivot slightly, just enough to face him. Do you think it works inside? I mean, how does someone wield lightning if there's no sky? Keeping my eyes locked on his, I fling the dagger at the target. The satisfying sound of split wood tells me I hit true. Fuck, that's hotter than it should be. He pulls in a deep breath. I think that's something you'll have to figure out. His gaze drops to my mouth and his arms tense. You're not going to step in and say you can train me? You can save me? I click my tongue and have the absolutely ridiculous urge to run it up the lines of the relic on his neck, tracing the intricate pattern. How very un-Zayden of you. I have no clue how to train a lightning wielder. And from what I witnessed today, you don't need saving. There's pure longing in his eyes as he scans the length of my body from my bare toes to the hemline that skirts my thighs, over my breasts to my neck, finally reaching my eyes. Only for myself, I mutter. The things I think about doing to him when he looks at me like that would surely ruin me. And tonight, I'm not sure I care. That's a dangerous combination. So then why are you here, Zayden? Because I can't seem to stay away. He sounds anything but pleased by the admission, but my breath catches anyway. Shouldn't you be out there celebrating?
Everyone else is. We won a battle, not a war.
He pushes off the door and takes a single step, closing the distance between us, and lifts my braid from over my shoulder, slowly rubbing his thumb along the strands.
And I figured you might still be upset.
You told me to get over myself, remember? So why the fuck would you care if I'm upset? I fold my arms across my chest, choosing anger over lust.
I told you that you'd have to develop a stomach for killing. I never said you'd get over it.
He drops my braid. I should, though, right? I shake my head and retreat into the center of the room. We spend 3 years here learning how to become killers, promoting and praising those who do it best.
He doesn't even flinch, just watches me in that observant, infuriatingly calm way of his.
I'm not mad that Jack is dead. We both know he's wanted to kill me since Parapet, and eventually he would have. I'm mad that him dying changes me. I tap my chest right above my heart. Dane told me that this place strips away the niceties to reveal who someone really is.
Not going to argue there.
He watches me as I begin to pace. And I just keep thinking that when I was younger, I asked my dad what would happen if I wanted to be a rider like Mom or Brennan. And he told me that I wasn't like them, that my path was different. Except this place has peeled away my civility, my niceties, and it turns out my power is more destructive than any of theirs. I stop right in front of him and hold up my hands. And it's not like I can blame this power on Tarn. Not that I would. Signets are based on the rider, just fueled by the dragon, which means this has always been there under the surface, just waiting to be unleashed. And to think... A knot forms in my throat. All this time, I had this tiny, driving hope that I would be like Brennan, and that would be the twist in my little fable, that my signet would be mending, and I could put all the broken things back together. But instead, I'm made to split them apart. How many people will I kill with this?
His eyes soften. As many as you choose. Just because you gained power today doesn't mean you lost agency.
What is wrong with me? I shake my head, my hands clenching into fists. Any other rider would be thrilled. Even now, I feel the power simmering just beneath my skin.
You've never been like any other rider.
He moves closer but doesn't touch me.
Probably because you never wanted to be here.
Gods, I want him to touch me, to wipe away the ugliness of the day, to make me feel something, anything but this welling shame.
None of you wanted to be here.
I glance pointedly at the rebellion relic on his neck. You're all doing just fine.
He looks at me. Really looks. And it feels like he sees entirely too much. Most of us would burn this place to the ground if we had the option. But every marked one wants to be here, because it's our only path for survival. It's not the same for you. You wanted a quiet life full of books and facts. You wanted to record the battles, not be in them. There is nothing wrong with you. You get to be angry that you killed a man today. You get to be angry that man tried to kill your friend. You get to feel however you want within these walls.
He's close enough now that I can feel his body heat through the thin cotton of my dressing gown.
But not outside them. It's not a question. We're riders, he says, as if that's explanation enough.
He takes hold of my hands and brings them to his chest.
So do whatever you need to get it out. You want to yell? Yell at me. You want to hit something? Hit me. I can take it.
Hitting him is the last thing I want to do,
And suddenly, I'm done fighting it.
Come on,
he whispers.
Show me what you've got.
I surge up on my toes and kiss him. Chapter 30.
A quote from Article 5, Section 7, the Dragon Rider's Codex.
Though not forbidden, cadets are strongly encouraged not to develop strong romantic attachments while studying in the quadrant for the efficiency of the unit. His body goes rigid for one beat, two, and then he spins us impossibly fast, putting my back against the door, jostling the frame.
Whoa.
He captures my wrists in one hand and holds them prisoner above my head.
Violet.
Zayden groans against my mouth. The plea in his tone floods my veins with a whole different form of power. Knowing he's just as affected by our attraction as I am is a rush.
This isn't what you want.
It's exactly what I want, I counter. I want to replace the anger with lust, the death of the day with the pulse-pounding assurance of my own life. And I know he's capable of delivering all that and more. You said to do whatever I need. I arch my back, pressing the tips of my breasts against his chest. His breathing changes, and there's a war in his eyes that I'm determined to win. It's time to stop dancing around this unbearable tension and break it. He leans down, his mouth only inches from mine.
And I'm telling you that I'm the last thing you need.
The barely leashed growl of his voice rumbles up through his chest, and every nerve ending in my body flares to life. Are you suggesting someone else? My heart races as I chance calling his bluff.
Fuck no.
The unmistakable flare of jealousy narrows his eyes for a heartbeat before his hips pin mine to the door. And my instant relief at his answer is replaced by a jolt of pure lust. I can see that infamous control of his hovering on the edge, balancing precariously on the point of a knife. All he needs is one little push, and I'm about to shamelessly shove. Good. I tilt my head up to his and draw his bottom lip between mine, sucking before gently nipping him with my teeth. Because I only want you, Zayden. The words breach something within him, and he gives. Finally. Our mouths collide, and the kiss is hot and hard and completely out of our control. Need streaks down my spine as he takes my ass in his hands and hauls me against his hips, my back raking the ridges of the door behind me as I use it as leverage to push closer to his strength. I wrap my legs around his waist and lock my ankles. My dressing gown rises with the motion, but I don't care. Not with the all-consuming way he's kissing me. The caress of his mouth and the strokes of his wicked tongue steal every logical thought, and my world narrows to this kiss, this minute, this man. Mine. In this moment, Zayden Ryerson is mine. Or maybe I'm his. Who fucking cares as long as he keeps kissing me? Heat floods my body in an addictive rush, setting every inch of my skin aflame as his mouth slides down my neck in a sensual assault that makes me moan. Gods, he says against my throat, and then we're moving. Wood scrapes the floor and crashes before my ass hits the desk, and my ankles fall from the small of his back when he leans over me, spearing his fingers through my hair at the nape of my neck as he takes my mouth again. I kiss him back with a hunger I've only known with him. My hands fly back to brace my weight, knocking anything and everything out of my way, sending whatever careening to the floor. The clock stops ticking.
You'll hate me in the morning.
You don't really want this. He punctuates each word with a kiss along my jaw, making his way to my ear,
He bites the lobe, and my core liquefies, going molten.
Stop telling me what I want.
I breathe raggedly and thread my fingers through the short strands of his hair, tilt my head, giving him better access.
He takes it, working his way down my neck to where it curves into my shoulder.
Fuck, that feels good. Every touch of his mouth to my heated skin is flame to kindling, and I suck in a sharp breath when he lingers on a sensitive spot, taking his time. But then he stills again, his breath hot and wet against the side of my neck. My brow furrows with an unwelcome thought. Unless you don't want me.
Does this feel like I don't want you?
He takes my hand and slides it between our bodies, and my fingers curl around his length through his leathers. I whimper with pure want at the feel of how hard he is for me.
I always fucking want you,
he groans as I squeeze. Then he lifts his head, seizes my gaze with his, and I recognize the wild need in those gold-flecked depths. It mirrors my own.
You walk into a room, and I can't look away. I get anywhere near you, and this is what happens. Instantly hard. Fucking hell. I can barely think when you're around.
He rocks his hips into my hand, and my grip tightens along with my stomach.
Wanting you is not the problem here.
Then what is?
I'm trying to do the honorable thing and not take advantage of you after you've had a shit day.
His jaw flexes. I smile and kiss the side of his mouth. It's always a shit day around here. And it's not taking advantage when I'm asking. My teeth nip at his lips.
Correction.
Begging you to make my day better.
Violet.
He says my name like a warning, as if he's something I should be wary of. Violet. He only says my name when it's just the two of us, when all the walls and the pretenses fall away, and gods, if I don't want to hear it again and again, just like that.
I don't want to think, Zayden. I just want to feel.
I release him. One tug of the ribbon is all it takes to unravel the long, loose braid of my hair, and I run my fingers through the mass. His eyes darken, and I know I've won.
Fuck me, this hair,
he says, then hovers his mouth over mine.
And this mouth, all I ever want to do is kiss you, even when you piss me off.
So kiss me. I arch into him and claim his lips, kissing him like this might be the only time I'll get the chance. This kind of desperation isn't natural. It's a wildfire that's likely to burn us both to the ground if we let it. The kiss is blatantly, deliciously carnal, and I melt against him, matching every thrust of his tongue with mine. He tastes like mint and Zayden, and I can't get enough. He's the worst kind of addiction. Dangerous and impossible to sate.
Tell me to stop, he whispers, his thumb skimming the hypersensitive skin of my inner thigh.
Don't stop. I'll die if he does.
Fuck, Violet.
He groans, slipping his hand between my thighs. Never mind.
That is how I want him to say my name from now on. Just like that.
He guides the fabric of my underwear across my clit, and my back arches at the burst of pleasure that radiates through my body, so sweet I can taste it. He captures my mouth with his again, and in a hungry assault, his tongue sliding against mine as his fingers stroke me through the fabric, expertly using it for friction. I try to rock my hips against his hand for more, but my feet dangle off the desk, robbing me of leverage. I can only have what he decides to give.
Touch me, I demand, my fingernails biting into the back of his strong neck, desire pounding through me like a drumbeat.
His voice is ragged against my mouth.
If I get my hands on you, really honestly get my hands on you, I don't know if I'll be able to stop.
He would. I know it in my soul. That's why I trust him with my body. My heart? It isn't playing into this decision.
Stop being so fucking honorable and fuck me, Zayden.
His eyes flare, and then he kisses me like I'm the heir he's been missing, like his life depends on it. And I think mine just might. His fingers slide under my underwear and stroke my slickened core, and a moan tumbles from my lips. His touch is electric.
So damn soft.
He kisses me deeply as his fingers touch and tease, making that sweet coil of pleasure tighten in my core. I dig my nails into his shoulder, my back arching as he makes tighter and tighter circles against my swollen clit.
I bet you taste just as good as you feel.
Pleasure shudders through me, a living, breathing fire beneath my skin.
More.
It's all I'm capable of saying, demanding as my skin flushes and my pulse skyrockets. I'm going to combust, to burst into flames, and all I can do is whimper against his mouth as he slides one finger inside me. My muscles clench around him, and he works in a second.
You're so fucking hot, his voice drops, sounding like it's been scraped over coals. It might damn us both. But I can't wait to feel you come around my cock.
Oh, gods, that mouth. I throw my hands back against the wall for leverage, knocking something loose as my hips roll. Something shatters on the floor to the left as I ride his thrusting fingers. He curls them against my inner walls, and I gasp, my thighs locking around his leather-clad hips. And when he uses his thumb to stroke my clit, the friction and pressure push me to the edge of mindless bliss. I cry out, and he covers the sound with his mouth, kissing with devious strokes of his tongue that match the movement of his fingers within me. Power surges rippling through my bones, and I grab onto Zayden even harder, surprised at the unexpected rush of crackling energy.
Look at you. You're fucking beautiful, Violet. Let go for me.
His words curl around my mind, his mouth fused to mine, and the intimacy of it pushes me to the limit of pleasure, and then right over it. He swallows my cry as my back bows, the first wave of my orgasm washing over me, releasing that tight coil of tension in a burst of sparks at the edge of my vision, breaking me into a million scattered stars. Lightning strikes outside my window, flashing light through the room again and again as he strokes me with an expertise that kicks the first climax into a second.
Zayden, I moan as the pleasure ebbs and flares again.
He grins and slides his fingers from my body, and I'm nothing but ragged breaths and raw hunger as I reach for his shirt.
I want it off now.
He accommodates my urgency, ripping off the fabric, and then we're kissing again, all swirling tongues and roaming hands. The feel of his skin under my fingertips is divine, impossibly soft over yards of hard muscle. I trace the lines of his back, memorizing the dips and hollows as sinew ripples with every move he makes.
I need you.
No, I gasp and reach for the buttons of his leathers.
You know what you're saying?
He asks as I shove the fabric and any cloth beneath past his hips, freeing the thick length of his cock.
It's hot and hard in my hand, and the moan that rips from his lips makes me feel invincible. I'm asking you to fuck me.
I arch up and kiss him. He groans, dragging my hips to the edge of the desk, then working my underwear down my legs, leaving me bare. My pulse skyrockets. I take the fertility suppressant.
Of course we both do.
The last thing anyone wants are little quadrant babies running around, but it's better said than sorry.
Same.
He grips my hips, lifting me for a better angle, and the head of his cock rubs against my clit. I gasp and his eyes lock with mine. The hunger I see etched in every tense line of his body is my undoing. I don't care if it damns us.
I need him. No more holding back. Not anymore. I reach between us, guiding the head of his cock to my entrance. But this position is shit. He's considerably taller than the desk. And if I wasn't so desperate for him, I'd laugh. But I am. I arch, but it doesn't help. Every second we wait feels like it stretches on for a decade. Fucking desk, he swears. My thoughts, exactly. His biceps flex as he lifts me by the backs of my thighs, and I wrap my arms around his neck and my legs around his waist, my dressing gown caught between us as he pivots. Our mouths meet in a ravenous kiss as my back hits the armoire. But I barely blink, too consumed with the stroke of his tongue, the feel of him between my thighs. Shit, are you all right? He asks. I'm fine. You won't break me. He pushes inside that first, tight inch of me, and I gasp at the fit, the stretch. More. I'm too busy kissing him to speak. I need all of you. You're going to be the death of me, Violet. Whatever's left of his control slips, and he takes me completely with one hard thrust. I moan into the kiss, deep. He's so fucking deep that I feel him everywhere. Tell me you're all right. He's already moving, thank gods. I'm perfect. Better than perfect. Power blazes beneath my skin again, buzzing in wordless, frenzied demand. You feel so fucking good. He slams back into me again and again as he sets a brutal, steady pace, his mouth sliding down my neck as his hand rises to cup my breast. I can't even think around the maddening pleasure as my back pounds the armoire door with every thrust, filling the room with the sound of our straining bodies and creaking wood. Every stroke is better than the last. My breaths stutter. Fuck, I'm never going to get enough of you, am I? He says, his face buried in my neck as I arch into him. Shut up and fuck me, Ryerson. Tomorrow is soon enough for regrets. Reaching up, I grasp the top edge of the armoire with one hand so I can rock back with more force, meeting the drive of his hips, taking him deeper, harder. He drags one of my nightgown straps off my shoulder, and the cool night air kisses the hardened peak of my nipple, a heartbeat before his hot mouth covers it. The sensations spiral, spinning and coiling, forming a tight knot of pleasure so deep within me, the tension is sublimely unbearable. The armoire door groans, then splinters off the hinges, and Zayden's shadows whip out, protecting me as the frame snaps and wood crashes around us. My power flares, rising in answer to his, sizzling beneath my skin as I grab a hold of his shoulders, my mouth finding his. There's no stopping. We can't stop. Fuck, he curses as he takes me over and over, never stopping, turning us again so there's cloth against my back. But it's not the bed. It's the curtains shoved to the side of the window. Energy crackles again and our mouths meet, and still he drives on, winding that knot inside me painfully tighter with every movement. And the power, it's too much. It's burning me, heating my blood with the need for release. Zayden, I cry out, simultaneously writhing, yet holding on to him like he's the only thing anchoring me to the earth. I've got you, Violet, he promises, his breath ragged, pants against my lips. Let it out. Lightning whips through me, flashing so brightly that my eyes slam shut. Heat flares above me as thunder cracks immediately. And I smell smoke. Shit, Zayden's power fills the room, eclipsing what light we had. And the curtain falls, but we're moving before the charred fabric can so much as touch my skin. That knot of pleasure builds to a breaking point as he takes me to the floor, and finally, I have all of his weight as he drives into me. Shadows fall away, and the sight of him above me, his dark gaze locked on mine in intense concentration, is the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. So very beautiful. I punctuate each word with a kiss.
He draws back, his eyes searching mine for a heartbeat or two, before he devastates me with another kiss that has me straining for more, rocking my hips against his. This man kisses with his whole body, rolling his hips in time with the thrust of his tongue, bracing just enough of his weight so I can breathe while stroking his chest over my hypersensitive nipples. He keeps me on the same edge he's riding, and I don't know how much longer I can take it before I set this entire room on fire. I need, my frantic eyes search his. Where are my words?
I know.
He claims my mouth again and reaches between us, using those talented fingers to stroke me into another orgasm, and light flashes again, followed by thunder and darkness as I come apart under him. Pleasure takes me in waves, rolling through me again and again until all I can do is clutch Zayden's shoulders and ride it out in blissful surrender.
Beautiful, he whispers. The second I come down, his rhythm breaks, and he presses my knee up toward my chest and takes me even deeper. I rock my hips up to meet his, sweat beading on our skin as I watch him unravel with rapt fascination. I love his loss of control just as much as I fear my own, and when I swirl my hips, he groans, arching his neck as he thrusts once, twice. On the third, he shouts, then shudders within me, and his power lashes out in streaks of shadows, the force splitting the wooden target on the other side of the window. Pieces fly, and Zayden throws out another wave of darkness that lasts just long enough to shield us from the debris. Then, the shadows retreat and daggers clatter to the ground behind me. He looks as shocked and as enthralled as I feel as we lay there, staring at each other, our chests heaving in the aftermath of what can only be described as complete and utter madness.
I've never lost control like that, he says, bracing his weight on one arm and brushing my hair back from my face with the other. The move is so gentle, so at odds with what we've just experienced, that I can't help but blink, then smile.
Me neither. The smile morphs into a full-out grin. Not that I've ever had power to lose control of before.
He laughs and rolls us to his side, keeping me close and cushioning my head with his biceps. I sniff at the smoke in the air.
Did I?
Set the curtains on fire? He lifts a brow. Yes.
Oh, I can't find it in me to be embarrassed, so I brush the backs of my fingers across the stubble along his jawline.
And you put it out?
Yes. Right before I destroyed your throwing targets.
He grimaces.
I'll get you a new one.
I glance over at the armoire.
And we...
Yep. He lifts his brows.
And I'm pretty sure you need a new chair, too.
That was...
I didn't even get the man's pants entirely off, and my dressing gown is haphazardly hanging from one shoulder.
Frighteningly perfect.
He cups the side of my face.
We should get you cleaned up and to sleep. We can worry about your room tomorrow.
Ironically, your bed is the only thing we didn't wreck.
I sit up to confirm that the bed made it, and Zayden does the same next to me, leaning forward. Immediately, I lose interest in everything but the muscled lines of his back and the navy blue relic Sigale transferred to him. I reach out and trace the dragon relic on his back, my fingers lingering on the raised silver scars, and he stiffens. They're all short, thin lines. Too precise to be a whip. No rhyme or reason to their pattern, but never intersecting.
What happened? I whisper, holding my breath.
You really don't want to know.
He's tense, but doesn't move away from my touch. I do. They don't look accidental. Someone hurt him deliberately, maliciously. And it makes me want to hunt that person down and do the same to them. His jaw flexes as he looks over his shoulder, and his eyes meet mine. I bite my lip, knowing this moment can go either way. He can shut me out, like always, or he can actually let me in. There's a lot of them, I murmur, dragging my fingers down his spine.
107.
He looks away. That number makes my stomach lurch, and then my hand pauses. 107. That's the number Liam mentioned. That's how many kids under the age of majority carry the rebellion relic.
Yeah.
I shift so I can see his face. What happened, Zayden? He brushes my hair back, and the look that passes over his face is so close to tender that it makes my heart stutter.
I saw the opportunity to make a deal, he says softly, and I took it.
What kind of deal leaves you with scars like that? Conflict rages in his eyes, but then he sighs.
The kind where I take personal responsibility for the loyalty of the 107 kids the rebellion's leaders left behind. And in return, we're allowed to fight for our lives in the Rider's Quadrant, instead of being put to death like our parents.
He averts his gaze.
I chose the chance of death over the certainty.
The cruelty of the offer and the sacrifice he made to save the others hits like a physical blow. I cradle his cheek and guide his face back to mine. So if any of them betray Navarre, I lift my brows.
Then my life is forfeit. The scars are a reminder.
It's why Liam says he owes him everything. I'm so sorry that happened to you. Especially when he wasn't the one who led the rebellion.
He looks at me like he sees into the very depths of who I am. You have nothing to apologize for.
I grab his hand as he moves to stand. Stay.
I shouldn't. Two lines appear between his brows as he searches my eyes. People will talk.
When did I ever give you the impression that I give a fuck what people think? I use his earlier words against him and sit up, curling my hand around the section of his neck that bears his relic.
Stay with me, Zayden. Don't make me beg. We both know this is a bad idea.
Then it's our bad idea. His shoulders dip, and I know I've won. He's mine for the night. We take turns sneaking out long enough to clean up, and then he slides into bed behind me.
Only within these walls, he says quietly, and I understand what he means.
Only within these walls, I agree. It's not like we're in a relationship or anything. That would be disastrous given the chain of command. We're riders, after all.
I just don't trust my temper if anyone says.
I brush a kiss over his mouth, silencing him. I know what you're saying. It's sweet. He nips at my skin.
I'm not sweet. Please don't mistake any part of me for soft or kind. That will only get you hurt. And whatever you do,
he buries his face in my neck, inhaling deeply.
Don't fall for me.
I stroke my hand over his marked arm and pray that's not exactly what I'm doing. This overwhelming juxtaposition of longing and satisfaction in my chest has to be the after effects of coming not once, but three times, right?
It can't be more. Violence?
I look out my window at the infinite black sky and change the topic, my eyelids growing heavier by the second.
Why did you guess I could wield lightning?
He stretches just enough to tuck my head under his chin.
I thought you did it the first night Tarn channeled power to you, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't say anything.
Really? I blink, thinking back, but my brain is full of a pleasant, dull hum as sleep fights to pull me under.
When?
My eyes drift shut. His arms tighten around me as he tucks me closer, the backs of my thighs pressed tight against his pants as I start to drift off.
The first time you kissed me.
When I wake, Zayden is gone. But that's not exactly a surprise. Him staying the night to begin with? Now that was the shocker. Finding a jar on my nightstand with a handful of spring violets? My heart swells. I'm in so much fucking trouble. He even moved all the debris to a pile in the corner, which means he must have used his shadows while I was sleeping because I didn't hear a thing. I'm still exhausted, but I dress and pin my hair up quickly, noting the sun has already risen. With Liam in the infirmary, I'll be solo for my archives trip today, but I might be able to sneak in to see him on the way back. I'm lacing my boots when there's a knock at my door. You have got to be kidding, I say loudly enough for the knocker to hear. Just because Liam is healing doesn't mean I need another... I wrench the door open and stumble over the last word. Bodyguard. Professor Carr stands in my hallway, his hair standing on end as he looks at me with scientific appraisal, then lifts his eyebrows as he stares past me into the wreckage of my room. We have work to do. I have archives duty, I argue. He snorts. You're off archives duty until we can be sure you're not going to burn the place down. Lightning and paper don't mix well. Trust me, Sorengale, the scribes aren't going to want you anywhere near their precious books. And from the looks of it, you can't even control your powers in your sleep. I try to ignore the sting of his words, since he's far off, but end up following him down the hall when he leaves. Where are we going? Somewhere you won't start a forest fire, he says without looking back. 20 minutes later, we're in the flight field, and to my surprise, Tarn is saddled. How the hell did you do that? He chuffs in indignation.
As if I'd let them design something I couldn't figure out how to get on myself. Remember where you get your power from, Silver One.
How's Endarna? I ask as Professor Carr thrusts a satchel into my hands. What's this for?
Sleeping, but she's fine,
Tarn promises.
Breakfast, Carr answers. With all the wielding you're about to do, you're going to need it.
He climbs onto his orange dagger tail, and after I mount Tarn and strap in, we're airborne. The bite of spring wind stings my cheeks as we fly deep into the mountain range, and I'm thankful I dressed in flight leathers this morning, thinking I'd have a session before lunch. We land almost a half hour later, high above the tree line. I shiver and rub my arms to fight off the low temperatures that come with high altitude.
Don't worry, you won't be cold for long, Carr assures, dismounting and pulling a small tome from his pocket. According to what I read last night, this particular ability has the power to overheat your system. Hence, he gestures around us. Plus, there's not much to burn up here, is there? And no witnesses if he decides to break my neck, either. I glance at him quickly before looking away, undoing the buckles of my saddle, then sliding down Tarn's foreleg.
Don't leave me. Never. I'll burn him alive before he takes a single step toward you.
Exactly.
He studies me carefully, and I avoid meeting his eyes as I check the wrap on my knee to make sure it hasn't slipped under my leathers.
It's always intriguing to me how nature finds the balance.
I'm not sure I know what you mean, Professor.
This kind of power, found in one so...
He sighs.
Would you not call yourself fragile?
I am who I am, I bristle. I've never given this particular professor any reason to think of me as different.
It's not an insult, cadet.
He shrugs, looking at the saddle.
It's a balance. In the course of my duties, I've found a correlation of sorts that keeps a system of checks on power. Yours seems to be your body.
A growl rumbles in Tarn's chest as he edges Carr's smaller dragon out of his space.
Your dragon doesn't trust me, Carr states, like it's an academic problem to be solved. And considering he's the most powerful of them in the quadrant at the moment, but not the continent, Tarn admits. That means you don't trust me either, Cadet Sorengale.
He holds my gaze, and the mountaintop wind makes his white hair dance like feathers.
Why is that? No point lying.
Other than you calling me frail? I stay at the base of Tarn's foreleg, ready to mount if necessary.
I was there the day you killed Jeremiah. His signet manifested, and you snapped his neck like a twig in front of all of us.
Carr tilts his head in thought.
Yes, well, he was in a considerable amount of panic, and it's widely known that intrinsics aren't allowed to live. I ended his suffering before he could see the end coming.
I'll never understand why mind reading is a death sentence. I place my hand on Tarn's leg like I can absorb his strength, even though I already feel it flowing through me.
Because knowledge is power. As a general's daughter, you should know that. We can't have someone walking around with unfettered access to classified material. They're a security risk to the entire kingdom.
And yet, Dane is living.
Because Atos will be useful to them as long as they can keep him under their control.
Tarn blasts a puff of steam over my head, and the orange dagger tail backs up even more.
His power is also limited to touch. So more controllable. Now, you don't have to trust me, and you can even wield from your seat on your dragon if you like. But I hope you believe me when I tell you that I have no plans of killing you, Cadet Sorengale. Losing an asset like you would be a tragedy for the war effort.
An asset.
And the fact that you bonded Tarn makes you and Ryerson the most coveted pair of riders this kingdom has seen in far too long. If I could offer a piece of advice.
His eyes narrow.
Please do.
At least he's brutally honest, so I know where I stand with him.
Keep your loyalties clear. You and Ryerson both have exceptional, lethal power that any rider would be envious of. But together,
his bushy brows furrow,
you would be a formidable enemy who command could simply not afford to let exist. Do you understand what I'm saying?
His voice softens. Navarre is my home, Professor. I will give my life to defend it, just like every Sorengale who has ridden before me.
Excellent, he nods. Now let's get to work. The sooner you can contain the lightning, the sooner we can both stop freezing our asses off.
Good point. I look out over the range. You just want me to... I gesture to the mountains around us.
Preferably anywhere but right here, yes.
I stare out at the mountains in the distance. I'm not really sure what I did to call it before. It was an emotional reaction. And what happened last night definitely isn't up for discussion.
Interesting. He jots something down in his notebook with a piece of charcoal. You've wielded lightning besides yesterday's display during the war games?
I debate keeping my answer to myself, but my silence isn't going to help. A few times.
And both times were the results of emotional reactions?
Tarn snorts and I smack his foreleg with the back of my hand. Yes.
Well, then start there. Ground in your power and try to feel whatever it was you were feeling.
He goes back to his notebook.
Should I get the wing leader?
Tarn flat out laughs in my head.
Shut up!
I ground both feet in my archives and power flows around me, through me. And Darna's golden light is there too, but it's softened from having been drained yesterday. And high above me swirl the inky black shadows I know represent the connection to Zayden.
Problems? Zayden asks, as if he feels my inquiry. And what are you doing so far away?
Training with Carr. My cheeks heat at the sound of his low voice.
And how do you know how far away I am anyway?
Get stronger in wielding and you'll be able to do it too. There's nowhere in existence you could go that I wouldn't find you, Violence.
The promise should be a threat, but it's not. It's too damn comforting for that. Right now, I'd settle for wielding some lightning. Carr is staring at me, and it's about to get really fucking awkward if I can't figure out how. Images of me flood my mind. It's last night, except I'm somehow seeing it through Zayden's eyes, feeling the unmistakable burn of insatiable desire. My control slips. No, it's Zayden's control slipping as I moan beneath him, my hips riding his hand, my nails biting into his skin with the pain that borders on pleasure as I writhe. Gods, I need... No, he needs me. His hunger walks the line of starvation to know my touch, my taste, the feel of power floods my entire system, crackling along my skin, and light flashes behind my closed eyes. The images stop, and my feelings are once again my own. And fuck if I'm not so turned on that I have to shift my weight to ease the ache between my thighs.
Good job, Professor Carr nods, jotting something down.
I can't believe you just did that.
You're welcome.
My cheeks are flaming hot as I lift the backs of my hands to my skin.
See, I told you, Carr lifts the notebook. The last lightning wielder said it made them overheat. Now do it again.
Tarn chortles.
Not a single fucking word out of you, I warn.
This time, I focus on the feeling of the power rush and not what got it there. Opening every sense and letting white-hot energy course through me, gathering to a breaking point. Then I release it, and lightning strikes more than a mile away.
Well, look at that. I am a certified badass.
Maybe you could work at aiming it this time? Professor Carr peers over his notebook. Just remember not to exhaust the physical strength with which you control the power. No one wants to see you burn out. A power like Tarn's will eat you alive if you can't contain it.
Lightning strikes 5 more times before I'm exhausted, and none of it hits where I was aiming.
This is going to be harder than I thought.